All right, good morning and happy new year to you. You made it to Sunday school. You made it to the right class because this is the class for everybody today. So teens and adults all combined here today and really for the next few weeks. So I'm going to give you a kind of a preview of what's going on the next few weeks. We'll communicate this in email and bulletin, things like that. But for the next few weeks, just come to this room for Sunday school. Okay? Today we're together on this topic. Next week, Lord willing, Willie Felderman, who's our associate pastoral candidate, will be here. So he'll be teaching a combined Sunday school here in this room for teens and adults. Then in 2 weeks from today, we will return to this topic as Dr. Brad Burke teaches us on this. And during that class, 2 weeks from today, teens who are under 16, I have a class going on for them downstairs. Because of the content of what Dr. Burke will be sharing, it may be best. And parents, you can make the final decision, but it may be best for teens under 16 to head down to the youth room. That's 2 weeks from today. And we'll again mention that at the beginning of that day. And then 3 weeks from today, Lord willing, this is the last Sunday in January. That's when we'll start new classes. We'll have a class for all men, high school and up, and a class for all women, high school and up. And the plan right now is for the women to meet in here and for the men to meet elsewhere in the building. But again, those things will be communicated in the weeks to come. But for today, this is where you're supposed to be. So I'm glad you're here. We are going to consider in a brief amount of time here how Christians, how we ought to live in a world of artificial intelligence. That's the topic for today. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom. You've promised to give it to those who ask, and so we do ask, and we ask in faith that you are the source of all wisdom and you are the giver of wisdom. Father, we thank you that you've promised to give it generously. And so we pray that we would be wiser as a result of this next 45 minutes than we are now. Father, thank you for being the all-sovereign good God who rules over all. We are grateful that nothing surprises you, that nothing is outside of your sovereign care for us. We thank you that you are working all things for your glory and for our good. So help us to trust you. Help us to be wise. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, you can follow along in the handout. I don't plan to point us to it often, but it'll help you kind of track as we go. To talk about artificial intelligence is to try to swallow the Atlantic Ocean. It can't be done. It can't be done. And yet, as Christians, we have a responsibility to walk wisely in this world. Technology continues to change, and technology can tell us a lot. It can tell us mainly what is possible. It cannot tell us what we ought to do. Technology has never been able to say what we should do. Technology is only able to say what we can do. So as we enter into this conversation, remember that. Just because we can doesn't mean that we should. It's a saying that my mom would say a lot as I was growing up. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Technology can tell us what we can do. It cannot tell us what we should or ought to do. So my purpose today is, with the limited time we have, to help us apply a biblical worldview to a world with artificial intelligence. I have two realities for you this morning. Reality number one, AI, that is artificial intelligence, is changing your world. Like it or not, it is. Maybe you, if you were around during the time of the invention of the printing press, maybe you wouldn't have liked the printing press. But no doubt it changed the world. Same is true for the internal combustion engine, the automobile. Same is true for the internet and smartphones. Even if you don't use these technologies, I think you used a car this morning, but even if you decide not to use these technologies, they changed our world. Even for those who don't have a car, or even for those who don't have a smartphone, the world is changed by these technologies. And so reality number one is that AI is changing our world. You can ignore it, you can reject it, but it's part of our world and it will impact the world in which we live. That's reality number one. Reality number two is that you're already using it. Whether you know you are or not, whether you're actively using it or not, you are using artificial intelligence. If you have ever done anything online, you have been a recipient, you might say, of artificial intelligence services. If you've ever used a bank for anything, you've been a recipient of artificial intelligence services. They track fraud and all kinds of things. If you've ever used your fingerprint or your face to unlock your smartphone, you've used artificial intelligence. If you've used spell check or autocomplete or any number of things, if you've shopped on Amazon, you've used artificial intelligence. Our church has used artificial intelligence, even for something as simple as editing audio recordings to make them more understandable for the listener. So the reality number one is that it's changing our world. Reality number two is that you're already using it. So now my purpose is to help us apply a biblical worldview to our world with artificial intelligence. Now, almost all the examples I just gave are what's called narrow or specific AI. That is, developers isolate a particular task or a set of tasks, and then they create a program or an algorithm to accomplish that set of tasks. Much of the recent development, and what we're going to talk about a lot today, is called generative AI, generative artificial intelligence. Now, stay with me. This is where computers generate, you might say create, although that's not the right word we would use here, but they generate new content that includes text, images, audio, video, other kinds of data. So most of what I'm about to say has generative AI in mind, although we certainly can apply it to other categories of artificial intelligence. Now, I told you two realities earlier. Now I'm going to give you two questions. Technology always comes with two big questions, whether it's the printing press, the internal combustion engine, the internet, or whatever. There are always two big questions, and they're on your handout. The first question is, what does this technology do for us? The second question is, what does this technology do to us? What does it do for us? What does it do to us? And those two questions will kind of frame the rest of our talk here this morning. So first, what can it do for us? Well, we don't have time to talk about all the technology, all the AI can do for us. So I'm going to try to categorize it in a few different ways. So first, I am submitting to you there are three big categories. These are massive categories of artificial intelligence good. I'm submitting to you, based on the research I've done and my limited knowledge, that these are three massive categories that I think you should be at least open to using for good. Every one of those words is important. You don't have to, but I think you should be open to using it for good. First of all, to learn. AI is really powerful at finding information, curating it for your need or your purpose, and even organizing it for you. This is a powerful way that we can use AI for good. Secondly, to brainstorm. Artificial intelligence is really good at collecting ideas from all over the internet and then figuring out what you are looking for ideas for and then recommending some ideas to you. So brainstorming. And then third, this is a massive category, just assisting. So simple, mundane tasks or summarizing data, even helping create schedules. AI can do all this and more. Some have said it's functioning kind of like administrative assistants or secretaries of the past. I think generally, these are three big categories of AI good. Now, there are four big categories of AI evil. These are just a few examples. We could give a whole lot more. And I'll recommend at the end some resources that will give you a whole lot more. But here's four big categories of AI evil. First, AI is often used to lie. And let's call it what it is. It's lying. That's what it is. It's not simply misdirection or misrepresentation. It is deception. It is lying. There's a term called hallucinations. And so artificial intelligence, if you ask it a question, depending on the service, and it doesn't know the answer, it's been documented over and over again that it will create an answer that it thinks you'll like. It's called a hallucination, where it simply lies. Then there's a category of things called deepfakes. Who's heard of deepfakes before? Can you raise your hand? Deepfakes? What are deepfakes? Well, deepfakes are usually pictures or video that are lies. They're simply lies. I remember a time when people would, often in text messaging, would say something like, pics or it didn't happen, right? Pictures or it didn't happen. Or maybe you know this, well, I have to see it to believe it. That's changing. That's changing. We no longer can have this category of, well, I have to see it to believe it. Or, well, if I, you know, pics or it didn't happen. Let me give you one example, okay? Did you know that Usain Bolt, the world-class sprinter, and I, we go way back? In fact, as he was earning a gold medal, he carried me across the finish line. How kind of him to do this. Now, this is a lie. It's relatively harmless. It's fun, right? This would be, I think, similar to, like, if we're teasing people or, you know, if we're just having friendly joking. But this type of technology can and has been used for incredible evil. Incredible evil. And by the way, I'm not good enough to figure this out. I'm sure I could, but I won't reveal my source, but someone else did this. And just an example. AI-created deepfakes have been used to cause incredible damage. But whether or not they cause damage, let's just acknowledge it is what it is. It's lying. It's lying. Now, again, we could talk about like all kinds of things we do that are meant to be funny and enjoyable, and there's categories for that. So I'm not saying that like this is sin. However, you understand how this could quickly and easily become incredibly hurtful. Dr. Burke, I think, will say more about this in 2 weeks, okay? The second category of evil is stealing. That is theft. AI is often used to steal. There's all kinds of frauds and scams, and phishing is another word, not like casting and fishing. I'll make you fishers of men. Not that kind of phishing, but P-H-I-S-H, phishing. And it's really, really sad that the rise of AI and technology has coincided, some would say caused, a rise of fraud. So these are some stats from the Federal Trade Commission. This is from 2018 to 2024. You see the eightfold increase in fraud losses. It's really a combination of lying and stealing, and AI is often used to steal. It can be used to steal the work of others. It's called plagiarism, right? And AI can be used in powerful ways to lie, to steal. Third, AI can be used to lust. Now, AI doesn't necessarily create lust. Lust starts in the heart. But AI can tempt us to lust. Just the internet itself has dramatically increased the availability of pornography, and if you apply AI to that, it makes that sin so much worse. In fact, now you're able to customize this lust to exactly what you want, or even exactly who you want. It's awful. And again, I think in 2 weeks from now, Dr. Burke will say more about this. I won't go into more detail right now. AI is often used to hate. It's often used to hate. Because it is incredibly powerful, artificial intelligence can take the sinful hatred of our hearts and spread it in more ways to more people more quickly than ever before. Just think about leveraging the power of artificial intelligence to hate others. It can happen. It is happening. If someone wants to say unkind things about you and to you, AI can do it better and more powerfully than they can do on their own. And then you in return can do the same thing. So the opportunities to exponentially increase sin are really astounding and horribly sad. Three big categories of AI good. Now we've looked at four big categories of AI evil. In just a minute, we'll talk about five big categories of what I say are what I call AI can't. It can't. But before we do that, we have to apply theology to technology. This is a really, really important exercise. Some of you maybe are better at this than others. We all can grow in this. That is, taking what we know about God, theology, what we know has been revealed in creation as well as in the Bible, and applying it to technology. This is how we create a biblical worldview of a world with artificial intelligence, as we take theology and apply it to technology. Now, there are all kinds of theological categories. I'm going to submit four that I think are really important to develop a biblical worldview for this world of artificial intelligence. First is what we call theology proper. Now, proper doesn't mean that it's like prim and stiff. It means it talks about God specifically. So theology can be this general category of what we believe. And then theology proper is what we believe about God. So let me ask you this. What do you believe about God? How does that then inform how you live in a world with artificial intelligence? And if you don't know how to answer those or connect the two, the good news is you can grow in this. And the reality is you need to grow in this. So let me ask you a couple of specific questions. Is God fully in charge? Who would say yes? Okay, so how does that apply to a world with artificial intelligence? What that means is that God is in complete control. This has not surprised him. As Vaughn Roberts, an author, puts it, there is a throne in heaven and it's not empty. He's in charge. He's in charge. It also means not simply he has control over it, but it also means that AI isn't in charge. AI isn't the authority. So we rest and trust and have confidence and hope and security in this. This changes the way that we interact with AI. So AI doesn't have all the answers. AI isn't the authority. God is. Do you believe that God is the standard of truth and goodness and righteousness? Do you believe that? If you do, then nothing else can be the ultimate standard, including AI. So you see how we're taking what we believe about God as revealed in his word as well as in his world, general revelation, and we're applying it to this. So I understand that there is a temptation to fear what artificial intelligence can do. Now, we ought not sinfully fear, because our God is in control. And he's in charge, and he's the authority. Should we be cautious and discerning, and you might even say scared? I understand that. But if we actually believe what we say we believe about God, there's no reason to fear. The God who works all things together for our good and his glory is not surprised. He's not surprised by what's happened, and he's not going to be surprised by what will happen tomorrow. So take what you believe, what you know about God, and apply it to technology. Another category that's really important is anthropology. Anthropology simply means mankind or humankind, or as I've put it, people. What do we believe about humans, about people? Here are three things I believe are really important anthropological categories or statements applied to AI. First of all, only humans are created in God's image. I'm going to say that again. Only humans are created in God's image. Read Genesis 1. God said, let us make man or mankind in our image. And so what did God do? God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Only humans. That means not animals and not machines and not computers and not even transhumans. Secondly, only humans are given dominion over creation as God's representatives. Only humans are given dominion. Machines are not, animals are not. And by the way, I said transhumans. Maybe some of you thought like that has to do with transgender. No. Transhumans is this term for in the future they think that AI and people will become one, will kind of merge into this superhuman. It's a whole category. You can read into it if you want, okay? But humans, only humans are given dominion over creation as God's representatives. Machines are not. So in Genesis 1, God said to them, that is male and female, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. And then he lists his creation. Statement number three, work is good. Work is good. It is not evil in and of itself. So before sin, God put the man in the garden to work it and to keep it. And how does this apply to AI? Well, AI can certainly make work easier, more efficient, but it ought not remove work completely because work is good. So those are some ways in which anthropology, that is what we believe about people, how it ought to apply to technology. I got to keep moving because of time. A third category. This is a fun one to say. How do you say that? Oh, you're good. Yeah, you're good. Hamartiology. Hamartiology. It just means sin. What do we believe about sin? So we believe, the Bible teaches, that sin started with Adam and Eve's sin, and then the curse, the effects of that sin, have been passed on to the world and to all mankind. And so now we are born with original sin, and we choose to sin. So people are sinners by nature and by choice. Technology. How is technology used in regards to sin? Now, probably the first thing we think of is like, well, using technology to sin, certainly. But often technology is used to push back the effects of sin. You might say the curse. So all the medical technology available today, like the ways that we can push back cancer, that is applying technology and knowledge to an effect of sin, the curse of sin. So technology is often used, as I say, to combat natural evil, that is the effects of sin. But it's also often used to commit moral evil, that is to sin. So technology is often used for both, to push back on the curse, the effects of sin in our world, and to commit more sin. So at its worst, artificial intelligence, at its worst, is technology that's developed by sinners, that's taught by sinners, and that's then used to sin at its worst. But don't expect artificial intelligence to solve the problem of sin. It can't. It cannot solve sin. It cannot erase natural evil, that is the effects of sin, and it cannot eliminate moral evil, the presence of sin. So no matter how much our world changes, or even you might say improves because of artificial intelligence or any technology, we can't expect it to erase the effects of sin or to eliminate the presence of sin. It cannot. But if you're in Christ, there is a future for you without sin. And so the category, the theological category of eschatology is really important. What do we believe about the future? I'll tell you what the Bible says about the future. In Revelation 21, we see a new heaven and a new earth. Then we hear a loud voice, verse 3. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. There are people who believe that AI will reduce death, or even maybe eliminate death in the future. God will do that. God will do that. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, the effects of the curse, the effects of sin, for the former things have passed away. And so as Christians, our hope is in that. That's our hope, not artificial intelligence or any other kind of technology. Even as we seek to use technology to push back or to combat what's called natural evil or the effects of the fall. So these categories of belief, which I hope you have, and I hope you and I are growing in as we know God better through his word, especially as well as through his world, these apply to artificial intelligence. And they lead us then to what I call five big categories of AI can't. AI can't. There are some things that artificial intelligence cannot do. It cannot establish truth. If you believe that God is the source of truth, you cannot believe that AI can establish truth. Those two beliefs are incompatible. So either God is your source of truth, your ultimate source of truth, or something else is. And AI cannot establish truth. AI cannot determine what is right. It can suggest things. It can give you categories of effects a certain decision or action might have, but it cannot say this is what's right. One of the awful examples is people have asked AI things like, is it safe to kill babies? Well, the question is, safe for who? Safe for who? It's not safe for the baby, but it can be done in a way that's safe for others. Now, they'll ask it like, is abortion safe? But we know that abortion is killing babies. So the question is killing babies safe? So AI can't tell you what is right. It cannot determine what is right. Either you believe that God is the standard of what is right, what is morally right, or you believe that something or someone else is. AI cannot make you wise. It cannot make you. Well, it can certainly give you knowledge. It can certainly make you smart, but it cannot make you wise. We know the Bible teaches that the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And AI is not human, so it cannot fear the Lord. It can give you knowledge, but it cannot make you wise. AI cannot relate with you. This connects back to anthropology. One of the ways in which humans reflect the image of God is that we are able to relate. We can relate with God, and we can relate with other image bearers, other humans. Artificial intelligence is not made in the image of God, and so it cannot relate. It cannot relate with you. Now, I know, and there are some probably even in this room, that have had conversations with artificial intelligence that certainly seem like they understand you, they know you. Maybe you would even say they're relating to you. They're not. They're not. Because either you believe what the Bible teaches about mankind being made in God's image, or you don't. And AI cannot satisfy your soul. It cannot. What is our only hope in life and death? We sing Christ alone, which is taken from the Heidelberg Catechism that we often say on Sunday nights. What's our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but we belong, body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to say with as much friendly, loving, shepherding, pastoral oomph as I can, if you look to AI to do any of this, you will never, ever, ever find what you're looking for. Not ultimately. Friend, if you're looking to AI to satisfy your soul, you will never be satisfied. Only God can do that. Now, we sought to answer the question, what can it do for us? The second question is, what does it do, or what can it do to us? I know I'm moving quickly, but the clock keeps ticking, so we're going to keep going, okay? One question that has been asked of technology and is still being asked is technology neutral, okay? So if you have a phone, you can think of your phone. Is your phone, is it neutral? Is it morally neutral? Now, the teens know that I love to ask yes or no questions, and I love to make them answer. So I'm going to make you all answer. Okay? With as much pastoral oomph as I can, I'm going to make you answer. Who would say technology, yes, is morally neutral? Technology is morally neutral. Who would say, yes, I believe that? Who would say, no, technology is not morally neutral? Who would say that? Some of you aren't answering. Who would say, Pastor Kevin, you're asking the wrong question, or we need more information, or something like that? Yes, of course. Okay, that's the right answer, right? The answer really is both. Here's what I mean by that. Yes, technology is morally neutral in the sense that a device or software possesses no inherent value or moral agency. So this device cannot decide to sin, and it cannot decide to fear God. But no, in the sense of the effect of technology on people. So technology is not morally neutral in the way it changes people, in its effect on people. Let me give you a couple quotes that I think will help communicate this. This is by author Jeremy Peckham in his book, Masters or Slaves. Just think with me and follow along as I read. Technology is designed and sold by people for a purpose. And that purpose is laden with values and a worldview. Can't avoid it. You have values and a worldview. So do I. Everybody does. So if we develop technology, it's laden with those values and worldview. Keep reading. Rarely are these values purely benign because profits are needed to fund research. Profits come from products that people want to buy or from third parties such as advertisers when products or services are offered for free, such as Facebook, Google, and so many others. So that's reality. That's truth. Now follow along. Users of technology are fallible people. We're imperfect and we change. So therefore, products are designed to offer us more possibilities. They suck us in by exploiting human weakness, vices such as greed, vanity, lust, insecurity, and anger. A consequence of the impact of technology on individuals is that culture is eventually shaped by it as more and more are drawn in. There's a lot to think through there, a lot to wrestle with. But the biggest point is this: technology changes us. It changes us. It does. You can't avoid it. It changes our culture, and it changes us as individuals. Is some of that change good? Can a lot of that change be good? Absolutely. Absolutely. God's given us dominion over his creation. So exercise his dominion over his creation in ways that honor him, in ways that reflect him. Absolutely. But it is changing us. Some of the ways that it changes us and the ways that it can harm us and others is through isolation and loss of community. The studies are clear. This isn't like my opinion. This is science, and these are facts, that the more we are online, the more we are depressed. Now, there's certainly benefit of this, right? Just in the last 2 weeks, I've used technology to talk with Jason and Holly Shepps, Pedro Garcia, and Jody Harrison. Awesome. That's so awesome. It's so good. And yet, as I've done that, how has that pulled me away from people in my presence? It also changes us through biased information. So let's apply this to artificial intelligence. Every single provider of AI is biased. By the way, so are you. So am I. We all have a worldview. We all have values. So we're all biased. So every provider is biased. And the vast majority are anti-Christian. So that's going to come out in their products. There are certainly surveillance and privacy concerns. Even right now, across the world, AI is being used to monitor people, to limit their freedoms, even in some parts of the world, to persecute ideological opponents. That includes Christians. It also can harm us and others through just loss of human skill or knowledge. So these are just some ways that technology can and is changing us. Now, we're going to end with 7 minutes of so what? So what? This is all leading to the back of the handout. And I've borrowed a title from Francis Schaeffer, who wrote a book titled How Should We Then Live? How Should We Then Live? So I'm suggesting this is how we should live in a world with artificial intelligence. I wish we had time to turn to different passages. We've already referenced some. There are references in some of the handouts. So first, 5 don'ts. Don't fear. I know it's easier said than done. I know. But remember what you believe about God. Remember theology and apply that to technology. Don't fear. God is in control. And you're going to need the help. We're going to need the help of others to remind us of this when we're tempted to fear, to sinfully fear. Secondly, don't idolize. Don't idolize. It will not satisfy. God alone satisfies. In Psalm 115, we have this picture of idols back then. Their idols are silver and gold. Now it seems like our idols are silicone. Their idols have mouths but don't speak. Now it's like our idols speak but don't have mouths. Their idols have ears but don't hear. Now it's like our idols hear us but don't have ears. So don't idolize. Don't idolize. Only God satisfies. Third, don't fully trust or blindly follow. I'm going to speak real bluntly about this. If you blindly trust or blindly follow what technology gives to you, you are doomed to fail. If not fail now, fail in eternity. God is the standard. He's the standard. You have a standard. It's either God or it's something or someone else. So don't fully trust or blindly follow. Follow God. God has revealed what is true, what is good, and what is right. So follow him. Fourth, this should go without saying, but needs to be said. Don't use AI to sin. It's going to make it easier to sin. It has made it easier to sin. So with the power of the Spirit, and with the self-control that God can give to you, resist that temptation. Don't use it to sin. We've talked already about lying and stealing and lust and hatred. I'm going to submit one more. Laziness. The Bible says sloth. Now, before you think, as someone maybe in my generation, before you think, yeah, schoolwork and education and all that. Well, what about the roles in your life God's called you to that can't be abdicated to AI or shouldn't be abdicated to AI? Whether it's as a father or a mother or a spouse or a pastor, shepherd, or whatever, or an employee. Don't sin with AI, including laziness, as well as lust and hatred and lying and stealing. And then finally, don't expect it to do what it can't. That goes back to the categories from earlier. Don't expect AI to do what it can't. Have limited and realistic expectations. Now, seven what I call do's. Number one, submit. Submit your use of AI to the Lordship of Christ. Maybe you think, Pastor Kevin, I don't use AI. Well, remember at the beginning, you live in a world with AI, so you are using it in some way. And as much as you use it, or try not to use it under the Lordship of Christ. If he's the Lord of your life, he's the Lord of all your life. Secondly, we must know God more deeply and truly. We ought to take in more of the Bible than any other content. That's the only way that we'll know what the standard is of truth and goodness and righteousness, is to know the Bible. So take in the Bible and value the Bible above all other sources of information. When you see or hear something, whether created by AI or not, you should think, what does the Bible say about that? How does that compare to what God says in his word or in his world? Third, verify. Verify everything that you read and hear. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything, hold fast to what is good. No longer. Now, it's been true for a few years, let's just be honest, okay? If you use any sort of social media or you're online, for a few years now, we really should have been living with this. Don't trust it, even if it's on the internet, right? But now especially. So yesterday, I found some video and pictures of what supposedly was happening in Venezuela. Was it real or not? Were those pictures, was it real or not? I didn't take enough time. I didn't have the time to like investigate. Is this video real or not? This picture. But I think it's right for us to go, I don't know. I don't know if that's real. There's ways to find out. But we have to verify. We have to verify. Fourth, this is so important. Don't withdraw from people. Pursue. Fight against our culture and against the world of technology to pursue real, open relationships with wise Christians. Can I submit to you, people in this room, other members of our church who aren't in this room right now, pursue real, open relationships with wise Christians. I'll give you a window into my my personality and my soul right now, okay? I've asked questions, not of any of you, but I've asked questions in an online forum that were real, honest questions about how to do something or about, I wanted some advice, some input. And sometimes the response is a summary of what AI says. If I wanted to know what they say, I would ask them. I want to know what you say. I want advice from you. I want counsel from you. I can certainly type my question into a chatbot, but I want people who know me and who love God to give me wisdom, to help me find God's wisdom. I need this more than ever. Because our culture is going to shift us without us even acknowledging or knowing it. It's going to shift us away from those relationships to getting all of our information, all of our counsel, all of our advice, all of our relationship, you might say, from technology. Number five, be more involved in church than ever before. You say, that's likely for a pastor to say that. Well, it's not just me. There's a book that came out just a few months ago that takes a study by Harvard and shows that the people who live the longest with the greatest emotional and mental health are Christians who go to church. The little book is titled How Church Could Literally Save Your Life. And it's actually based on this study by Harvard. Now, the author's a Christian, but these Harvard people are not, at least not that I know of. And over and over and over again, it's clear that people who have the best emotional health, the best physical health, the best mental health, as well as the best spiritual health, are Christians who are actively involved in church. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, right? But the world is going to say, you can find these things other places. And the church actually is what's going to stabilize you and me in a changing world. Six, serve others more. Let me tell you one of the dangers of AI. It's really a danger of a lot of technology. But listen to this. AI is so good at curating everything to you, to me. It's what I'm looking for, what I want to hear, what's going to help me. Listen, we're already self-centered. The last thing we need is technology feeding our selfishness. So we're going to have to push back against that by remembering what God calls us to, which is to lay down our lives for Him, to pick up the towel and wash feet, to actually serve others. It's going to be ever more important that we serve others. I think it's okay to ask a question like, how might Jesus have used a technology like this to serve others? Because Jesus came to serve. He's called us to serve. So how might we use technology to serve others? Number seven, pursue the Great Commission in obedience to the Great Commands. I think you all know what the Great Commission is. It's on the walls in our auditorium. More than that, it's in the Bible. You know what the great commands are? When people ask Jesus, sir, what are the two greatest commandments? What did he say? Love God and love others. So these three things, really the three commands, ought to be the framework with which we live in a world with artificial intelligence. I'm going to close with a quote and then a couple recommendations and we'll be done. The same author I quoted from earlier, Jeremy Peckham, he writes this. We need to step back, pause, and regain consciousness of what's happening around us. Now, if you're trying to follow along on the handout, this is the second of the two quotes there. So pause, step back, regain consciousness of what's happening around us. In other words, be aware, be discerning. Not necessarily to discard new technology, but rather to engage it with informed minds. Minds that have a clear view of whether it helps or hinders our walk with God, our relationships with others, and our desire to become more like Christ. This is called discernment. And we need it. We need to apply discernment. We need to live discerningly in a world with artificial intelligence. Three quick recommendations and I'll close. I have a bunch of resources. I'm not going to talk about all of them. But one that I think you not only could but should read is this book by Peter Gohman. I think I'm saying his last name correctly. He's a seminary professor, but he's also done a lot of work in this field. It's a very small book. I wouldn't say it's the best book on the topic, but the best book that I've read on the topic is this big. And so I'm suggesting this one for most of you. Okay, if you want to read this one, great. This one's really, really good. And some of these other ones are good as well. I'm thankful for a few of you in this room that read this one kind of along with me and helped provide feedback. So anyway, that's one. The second recommendation is there's a ministry called Christ Over All. You can find it online. They have a lot of good articles. They have a podcast as well. Every month, they look at a specific theme or topic. And in May 2024, their theme or their topic was artificial intelligence. Now, that's already been like almost 2 years ago. So the technology has changed. But what they do is they take the Bible and apply it to AI. I would highly recommend, I haven't read every single article they have on AI, but the ones that I have read are really, really good. And I listen to them on all kinds of topics. And generally, not always, but generally, it's really, really good stuff. So that's another recommendation. And then finally, if you want to find a good AI to use, I would recommend one called Dominion. Dominion AI. Why would I recommend Dominion? And by the way, I haven't tried a bunch of them. There's a lot I haven't tried. But Dominion AI is based in a Christian worldview. It's developed by Christians, and it seeks to help Christians. So the framework, the bias, is Christianity or the Bible. And again, you can read all about it. It's dominion.chat is the URL. One of my favorite things about Dominion AI, and I just took a screenshot of their homepage. So, of course, you type your message in here. And do you see what it says underneath? Dominion AI can make mistakes. Not all AI will admit that. Verify important information with scripture and trusted sources. I just appreciate that acknowledgement. It's taking what AI can't do and making it obvious, making it clear. It does cost some money, but that's a recommendation for you. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, give us wisdom. Help us to know you, to know your word, so we can live wisely in your world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Next week we'll be back in here, all combined, for Sunday school. We are dismissed.